On you. Can anybody in here say, thank you, Lord, you've been good to me?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. God's been good to us, hasn't he?
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord today. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be here than anywhere I know. Amen. I'm just watching God do some wonderful things here and changing hearts and changing people, that it's just a blessing to see what God's doing. Amen. And I want to share something with you out of the book of Isaiah today. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Isaiah chapter 6, a very familiar passage of Scripture, but I have a thought on my heart today, and I want to just share this with you. Man, I love the presence of God. Amen. I believe I'm worshiping with some people that love the presence
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
And want to be in the presence of God.
Right.
And I'm believing that God's not even started to do what he's going to do.
No.
I don't even believe that I don't think we've even got to the hors d'oeuvres yet. I think all we're doing is smelling what's in the kitchen right
Amen.
Now for what God has for us. And there ain't nothing like the presence of God. Isaiah 6, verse 1. If you found that, say amen.
Amen.
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with twain, or two, he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Look at verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for me? Then said I, Here am I, send me. One final thought, verse 11. Then said I, Lord, how long? I want to share something with you this morning. You can be seated. Father, Lord, I love you today, and I thank you so much, God. Father, I am so excited about what I sense in my spirit. I'm so excited about what I see you doing in the lives of other people here. God, I'm so excited about how I see you bring healing to broken hearts, how you're bringing passion to people and fires that are being started in the lives of other people in this church. God, I believe that we're standing at a threshold of a very early beginning of something that's going to come, and God, a revival that's going to just saturate our lives. And Father, today, I'm so thankful for your Son that it's made all this possible, Lord, that we can go behind the veil and have fellowship with you anytime we want to come, Lord. And God, we can go into the Holy of Holies and spend time in your presence, Father. I'm thankful today, God, for what you're doing and what you're going to do. And Father, today I just ask that you anoint me, help me to bring this and deliver this in a way that God would touch the lives of people that are in this room, Lord. We give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
I want to talk to you about God's presence today. God's presence. It's impossible to get in God's presence and not experience change. It's not possible. It's not possible. We get in the presence of God, it's impossible to go out like we came in.
Amen.
It's just impossible. That's why that we need the presence of God in our church. Listen, the goal is to not just come to church. The goal is to get in the presence of God. I hear people say this, well, we're looking for a good Baptist church, or we're looking for a good Pentecostal church, or we're looking for a good Methodist church, or a good Presbyterian church. No, I'm telling you what we ought to be looking for. We ought to be looking for God's presence.
Amen.
Above everything else, we're looking for a good youth program. What about God's presence?
Amen.
And I'm telling you that God's presence will do more to change our families. It'll do more to change our nation. It'll do more to change our community. It'll do more to change your children and your marriage than anything that you could ever do.
Amen.
Getting in the presence of God. There's so much stuff in the world of Christianity today that everybody says they're right. This one says they're right. This one says they're right. And we know that everybody can't be right. Everybody can't be right. Better find out what's right. There are so many things that we claim to be the presence of God that have absolutely nothing to do with the presence of God. We entertain people and call it the presence of God. Listen, if we go away amused, amen, we've not been in the presence of God. You get in the presence of God, you go away amazed. Amen. Not amused, amen. And so I don't want to leave here today amused. I didn't come to entertain anybody. And I know that the praise and worship team didn't come to entertain anybody. I came today to talk to you about the importance of being in God's presence. Amen. We got this seeker-friendly messages that are going on in churches, making people feel good about themselves, but it never draws God's presence. We got all this stuff that we do trying to draw people, but the key to church is not doing things that would draw people, but doing things that would draw God's presence. Amen, because that's the important thing, folks. These little seeker-friendly messages that we got are have more to do with pop psychology than it does the Word of God. Come on, help me out. Amen, it never changes anything. I've learned something. I've learned that soft messages produce soft men with hard hearts. Whew. Amen, but it's nothing like the presence of God to get folks right. Can you say amen? Listen, the Holy Ghost won't bear witness with anything except the truth. And without the presence of the Holy Ghost in our churches and the convicting power of the Holy Ghost in our churches, ain't nobody going to get saved. People going to go out just like they came in. And not everything that calls itself a church is a church. You can put a steak label on a pack of bologna, but it's still bologna. Changing the label don't change what it is. You can call it anything. You can call it the presence of God. And listen, we grew up with a generation right now that's in church that don't know nothing about the presence of God. Come on, help me out. They have been entertained and they know nothing about the presence of God. When you get in the presence of God, things begin to shift and things begin to change. So how do we know when we're with something that's real or something that's fake? When Isaiah came in, the Bible said he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And his glory had filled the house. And the doorpost started moving. You got angels crying, holy, holy, holy. I'm telling you, he shifted everything in the room. That's how you know. Is something happening, amen? We see Facebook posts that come on and talk about what a powerful presence of God they had. But I wonder how much of what we really say is the presence of God is really the presence of God. Because if you get in the real presence of God, come on, I need some folks that knows what I'm talking about, being in the presence of God. If you get in the real presence of God, you won't walk out the same way that you walked in. It's in God's presence that He changes us from the inside out. Amen. I got addicted the first time I got in the presence of God. Anybody been touched by Him? Amen. I got lost in the presence of God and I didn't know where I was. Come on, help me out. I got lost and didn't know where I was. I didn't know what people was thinking around me and I didn't care. I didn't care. I've never had anything like that in my life. I grew up in church. I've been in church most of my life, but I've never experienced anything like that. I never found a drug that made me feel that way or I'd have still been out there. I've never found anything like I felt when I got in the presence of God. You say, well, I don't like coming to church. Church is boring. You get in the presence of God, He takes the boring out of church. Come on, if we're bored with church, He ain't there. Amen. He just ain't there if we're bored with church. Having the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you will do something for you that the world can't duplicate. They can't duplicate it. Amen. We can fake a lot of stuff, but we can't fake the presence of God. I'm telling you, they've never made a beer that can do for you what the Holy Ghost can do for you. They've never made a drug that can do for you what the Holy Ghost can do for you. Come on, give me some praise in the house. There ain't nothing like the presence of God. What the world needs is a good dose of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, that'll fix it, won't it? I'd love to see Nancy Pelosi full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Don't get on politics, Pastor. I'm moving on. I'm talking. Listen, we find something in God's presence that we can't find in the world. I've come to church when I didn't feel like coming to church. Can I get an amen?
That's right. Yes.
I feel like I couldn't get one foot in front of the other, but they'd start singing them old songs, man. And the next thing you know, I get to thinking about the goodness of God and how God's helped me and God's walked with me and God's delivered me and God's saved me. And the next thing you know, I get my hands up, and all of a sudden, here comes the presence of God. And I walk out of here, man, and I can't believe how much time has gone by when I get in the presence of God. I can't believe how quick it went. I can't believe it. The praise and worship team's sitting down, that they're done already. Amen. And I walk out of here feeling like I could walk to the house. I didn't feel like even coming when I got here. But I could feel like I could walk out of here and walk home. I want to pull three things that are found here in this text today that Isaiah experienced when he got in the presence of God. And I believe that they're the same three things that you and I will experience when we get in the presence of God. The first one is that when we get in the presence of God, we'll say the right thing about our sin. We'll get honest about our sin. Amen. When Isaiah came in, he saw the temple full of the presence of God. And the first thing we find Isaiah doing is getting honest about his sin. He said, "Woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips." Some folks like drawing attention to themselves in church, but I'm telling you, when you get in the presence of God, we'll find out it ain't about them, it ain't about you, it ain't about me, it ain't about the praise and worship team, it ain't about the songs they sing, it ain't about the pastor, it ain't about the evangelist, it ain't about who's preaching or who ain't preaching, it ain't about whether he's preaching too long or whether he's preaching too short. You get in the presence of God, you won't care. You'll get honest in the presence of God. We get in the real presence of God. You know what happens? We fall on our knees and start crying out to God. We'll stop making excuses for our sins and saying, "Well, I'm like this because Daddy was like this. I'm like this because Mama was like this. I'm like this because I didn't get a bicycle when I was 12 years old. I'm like this because what happened to me when I was a kid. I'm like this because they didn't let me play ball." We'll quit making all them kind of excuses and get honest when we get in the presence of God. Listen, we need a revival of getting over ourselves and realize how small and how insignificant we are and how great and how wonderful and how majestic and how wonderful our God is. We need to get over ourselves. We got too much man worship in church. Hello. We got too much man worship where we run to here and run to there because of a man. Folks, I'm telling you something today, that there ain't no man that saved you. There ain't no church that saved you. So can we just agree today that don't none of that stuff deserve our worship, but God Himself is the one that saved us? Come on, can you say amen?
Amen.
When we get in the presence of God, we start lifting our hands, we'll say the right things about our sin. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I'm undone. God's presence will begin to reveal things about you that you didn't know before. Listen, folks, I believe that maybe Isaiah wasn't real sure. Maybe he didn't even know. It almost implies that until he got in the presence of God, he didn't know that he was a man. He didn't know that he was undone. He didn't know that he had unclean lips. He didn't know because he's around other people just like him.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And so he's looking over here and he's saying, "You know what? I'm as good as they are. I've invited people to church before, James, and they'll tell me, 'I ain't coming over there. You got hypocrites over there.' Well, the problem is he's going to hell too. I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather go to church with a hypocrite than to go to hell with them, because this is just temporary. Hell's permanent. Come on, amen. Maybe God will show up and change me." And he starts looking around, seeing other people, and, "Well, I'm just as good as they are." Listen, when we're outside of the presence of God, we'll make excuses for our sin. "I'm as good as they are. I mean, I'm all right. Ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm fine." But we get in the presence of God, we'll start crying, "Woe is me." And I believe that maybe Isaiah learned something in the presence of God that he didn't even know about himself. That he had a sin that he didn't even know about. He didn't know that he had it. And God began to reveal it to us. And you know what? Sometimes that's why we can't go on with the Lord and go to the next level, is because we got something in our life that we don't even know we got in our life. The devil's even hid it down in there, but he knows it's going to, come on, amen. He knows it's going to hinder us, and he knows it's going to stop us. But all of a sudden, God starts moving, and all of a sudden we start crying out, "Woe is me." Amen. He didn't even know. He thought he was as good. And the problem was, he was just as good as those around him. But when he got in the presence of God, he started saying, "Wait a minute. They ain't right either. There, I dwell in a people of unclean lips. You ever been in a room somewhere and sitting there and the sun starts shining in and you see them little squiggly wormy dust particles start floating around in there? Anybody ever seen that? They was there the whole time. You didn't see them because the sun hadn't shined. The light didn't shine on them yet. They was there the whole time. And you didn't see it because the light didn't. I'm going to tell you something. You get in the presence of God, and all of a sudden, He'll start shining in on some area of your life. Amen. Now, let me tell you something. He gets specific. He don't come to us and say, I got a prayer request for you. I'm telling you what He says. I got an unspoken request. No, He'll pinpoint what's wrong in your life. Isaiah began to cry, I'm a man of unclean lips. Woe is me. Not only me, but guys I'm hanging out with, they ain't right either, Lord. They ain't right, and we'll start saying, God, there ain't nothing I can do to satisfy a holy God. I'm standing up here this morning giving thanks because I know today, had it not been for the grace of God, I'd be lost and on my way to hell. Amen. Thank God for the presence of God that came and convicted me, and I got saved and redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Woo! Woe is me. When was the last time you had a woe is me moment with God? Ooh. That's why it's important to do more than just come to church. I believe it's what's happening in our altars is that we got folks coming and having woe is me moments in these altars and beginning to realize, wait a minute, God, I ain't right. Me and Rick was talking this morning. A lot of times I'm wanting God to change other people. And I found out the problem wasn't them, it was me. And I needed God to touch me, but I'm telling you, in this altar, when we find in this altar, listen, the altar, the brazen altar, was where the flesh got consumed. Oh, it's where me got consumed. It's where my desires got consumed. Amen. I'm not talking about a 12-step motivational speech this morning where it made you feel good about yourself. I'm talking about an encounter with God, a woe is me moment. Amen. When's the last time that you got in the presence of God and it caused you to shrivel up and caused you to cry out? Anybody ever done that? I'm telling you something. Amen. I thought I was doing good before, brother, and just I'm charging hell with a water pistol, and I get in the presence of God and He starts pinpointing stuff in my life that ain't right. The time in my life when I had pride in my life, I didn't even know it was there until God started shining in on it. And I started seeing it, and I'm like, oh, woe is me, God. Woe is me. Listen, folks, I'm telling you, there are churches today that don't want nothing to do with the Holy Ghost. They don't want nothing to do with the move of God. Can you say amen? We realize when we're in the presence of God that we can't even walk without Him holding our hand. We realize in the presence of God how good God's really been to us. Amen. And some churches have completely scheduled God completely out of their services. They don't want anything to do with the move of God. They don't want anything to do with the power of God. They don't want anything to do with the presence of God. Everything is so structured that if a Holy Ghost tried to move, they wouldn't even let Him move. Amen. I'm telling you today, the reason that we need the presence of God in our churches is because the Holy Ghost can do more in 5 minutes than man can do in 50 years. Amen. Come on, we need the presence of God in our churches. Hallelujah. Second thing is that when He comes in the presence of God, you'll come to a place of surrender. Verse 8 said, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And said I, here am I, send me. You don't say that outside the presence of God. Amen. If you don't stay in the presence of God, you'll wonder what you said that for. You get to the car and you're going, I don't know what I've signed up for. When we get in the presence of God, the first thing that the Holy Ghost takes care of is He takes care of our sin, because we can't go any further with Him until He gets rid of that sin and takes care of that sin. Whether you know about it or whether you don't know about it, we can't go any further until He takes care of that sin. But when He takes care of that sin, listen, the priests couldn't even go in the Holy of Holies until they washed in the laver, until they'd been washed. And Paul said, such were some of you, but you've been washed and you've been justified and you've been sanctified. Amen. There's a process that's taken care of. You can go on with the Lord now. But when we go on with the Lord and we get our sin taken care of, there's another thing, that the second thing that the Holy Ghost does is He will deal with our level of surrender when we get in the presence of God. Whew. Some folks have given God limited access. He bought full access. Amen. And we'll go from some timers to all timers. Amen. Some of y'all looking at me funny. He will get our commitment right. In the presence of God. You know why some folks show up over here all the time? Is because they've been in the presence of God. You know why I came over here this morning? I didn't come over here to hear the songs. Come on, I got up this morning to get in the presence of God. I didn't come over here to preach to you today. I didn't come over here to see what you was wearing. I came over here to get in the presence of God. And if you're trying to impress me with your new clothes, amen, I'll forget. I don't even know what you got on. Amen. Has anybody come for the presence of God? Amen. To just get in the presence of God, because there ain't nothing like the presence of God. There ain't nothing like the presence of God. And He'll deal with our level of surrender when we get there. Amen. He wants full access. He wants custody, not weekend visitation. But it's in God's presence that everything shifts. Our plans, our dreams, our desires, our thoughts, all of a sudden start taking a back seat to His. All of a sudden it's about Him. All of a sudden it ain't about the song I want to hear. All of a sudden it's about the song that God wants. All of a sudden it's about God doing something in this thing. When I got saved, man, I was scared to death of the will of God. I was afraid to sell out to God. I was afraid to give God access to me, because I saw men that was on fire for God. I saw men that were surrendered to God, and they was all preaching or teaching a class or singing in a worship team somewhere. And I was afraid if I did that, God going to ask me to do something. And I believe today that that's the reason some folks sit in church year after year after year, afraid to get in the presence of God, because they're afraid that God's going to pinpoint something in their life that they're going to have to deal with. They're afraid that God's going to move on them and have to give up something, amen, that ought not be in there. They're afraid that if they get right with God and give God full access, come on, that God's going to come along and do something with them, amen. So I was afraid to get in the presence of God. But when God touched me and I got addicted to His presence, I started seeking after God. I started reading His word because I wanted to know more about Him. I started praying more and spending more time with Him. And guess what? He did ask me to do something. But it's the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life when God called me to do what I'm doing. It's the greatest joy that I have. Don't be afraid to give up and come on. Amen? Anybody hear what I'm saying? I used to chase after stuff and want stuff. And when I started chasing God, I soon realized that what I was chasing was now chasing me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Amen. You chase God, and what you've been chasing will start chasing you. And I'm telling you this, God will do more for you than you can do for yourself. Amen. The people that they say that if you get surrendered, it's going to be boring, and you're going to live your life for the Lord, and you ain't never going to get to do anything. And you know what? It's the people that have never gotten really surrendered are the ones that look like they come in with been sipping on lemon juice before they get here. Amen. The ones that look like their mama-in-law's moved in, they ain't going to move out. Amen. But I ain't never seen nobody surrendered that ever regretted surrendering to the Lord. Come on, somebody shout amen. I ain't never seen anybody that said, God, whatever you need out of me, here I am, Lord. God, just take whatever you need from me and start giving their heart and their life to the Lord. There ain't nothing like the presence of God. Telling you the best life that you can ever live is a life for the Lord. I'd rather be saved than anything. I'd rather be a Christian right now and than anything. There ain't nothing any better than that. There ain't nothing like laying down and putting my head on a pillow at night and know that I'm on my way to heaven, that God is my Father. My name is written down in His book. Amen. That I don't have to worry about death because He's took the sting out of death for me, to know that I'm a born-again child of God. There ain't nothing like laying down and experiencing that. I met people that had millions of dollars in the bank and as miserable as they could be. It's like that old song. And I met little old grannies that didn't have two nickels to rub together, but they had a smile on their face and joy in their heart. Listen, folks, it ain't about what you got, it's about who you got. Come on, come on, give you some praise. Come on, it ain't about what you got, it's about who you got. I want to just say this, if you're scared to surrender to the will of God, finds you a dead, boring church where the presence of God don't never move. And whatever you do, don't ever get in the presence of God. Because if you do, God will take your desires and start giving you His. Amen? But I want you to know something today. Your level of surrender will also determine your level of joy. People that are miserable, all they need to do is go, Lord, here I am. People that are struggling, all they need to do is go, Lord, here I am. Because our level of joy is dependent upon our level of surrender. And sometimes we're so afraid, God's going to ask me to do something. I ran from the call to preach for about 3 years, scared to death. And what I found out, you can't outrun Him. His arm ain't short. I'm telling you, He'll snatch you up. Can you say amen? He'll snatch you up. There's not one person in this room that God has saved for no reason. You might feel like today that you're too young and you're not talented enough and you're not qualified. Moses said, Lord, I can't talk. Jeremiah said, I'm too young. I can't go. I'm too young. But I'm telling you, there's not a person in this room. Every person in this room has been created for a purpose and for God's plan. Everybody here. Everybody here. And I'm telling you, that you get in the presence of God, you'll find out that your purpose had more to do than you just putting your backside on a seat and trying to keep it warm and suck oxygen out of the room. God has a plan for us, for every one of us in this room. And I want you to know something. What an old preacher told me when I was running from the call to preach, he said, son, your joy and your peace is waiting on you in the center of God's will. I found that to be the truth. Amen. I'm telling you today, get in the presence of God and you won't care what God asks you to do. Can you say amen?
Amen?
One final point, we'll go get a piece of chicken. The third thing that happened is that God in God's presence will begin to help you understand your suffering and why you're going through what you're going through. And we don't know when we're not in God's presence. We just think God's mad at us and God's forgot us. But in God's presence, we would realize and understand why our suffering was what it was. Amen. Isaiah said, Lord, how long? You ever cried that? Lord, how long? Lord, how long? David's cried it. Good people in the Bible have cried it. Habakkuk cried it. Lord, how long? How long, Lord, are you going to be angry? How long, God, are you going to hide your face? How long? Anybody ever been there? How many of you have ever realized that that preacher that told you on TV that if you just get saved, everything's going to be rosy and smooth and everything just going to be lovely? Have you figured out he lied to you yet? Yeah, Job said this. He said, man born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Full of trouble. Full of trouble. The Bible said that the righteous have a lot of affliction, but God delivers them out of them all. Every one of them. Amen. Sometimes there are storms, and I want you to hear me. Sometimes there are storms, sometimes there are hardships, sometimes there's sickness, and sometimes even graveyards that God's will allow in our lives to get us to the place that we need to be with Him. Everything we face and every person that comes into our life is all part of God's plan to transform us into the image of His Son. Every part of it. God's goal is not necessarily to make all of us happy. His goal is to not make us multimillionaires. And I get so sick of that prosperity message being preached on TV where everybody's talking about this is your year of release. Not if you don't get right with God, it ain't. Come on, not if you don't get in the presence of God, it's not going to be your year of release. This is going to be your year. No, it ain't going to be your year. Amen. We're going to stay in bondage. It ain't going to be your year because God don't bless that. Come on. But it's in God's presence when we begin to realize what we're going through and why we're going through some of the things that we're going through. Amen. It's all designed for God to transform us into the image of His Son. The goal of God is for us to maximize His glory and for Him to transform us into the image of His Son, Jesus. Nobody in this room says, hey, I'm signing up for some trouble. I don't care how spiritual you are. Don't even try that. Amen. If I said today, all right, who's willing to take one for the team and go through something? Ain't nobody in here going to go, yeah, take me. Nobody in this room wants to go into any kind of problems, folks. But if you just be honest, and we've had testimonies of this, and if you just be honest and remember back on the last thing that you went through, and you'd be honest, you'd tell folks today that had it not been for that thing that I went through, I wouldn't be where I am today. Had it not been for that thing that I went through, I wouldn't be who I am today. Had it not been for that thing that I went through, I wouldn't know what I know today. Folks, I'm telling you, sometimes we got to go through suffering and got to go through things, because the only way that God can transform us into the image of His Son is through the avenue of suffering. Can you say amen? You like me, I don't like suffering. I can tell you what minor surgery is. It's when you're having it. Major surgery is when I'm having it. I don't like suffering. There's people in this room right now that if I told you that you would go through what you've been through the last 2 years, you'd think I'd lost my mind. But you came through it. You walked through that valley. You came out of that valley. You walked out of it. You came out. The song said that he'd never leave you. Did you come out of it? Amen? And you thought you'd never come through it. Is there anybody in the house that thing was so hard that you didn't think you was ever going to come out of it? I'm telling you, sometimes God will bring trouble into our life that we don't know. I'm not talking about somebody stomping their toe or you running over your minutes on your cell phone. I'm talking about something happening in your life where you think, I'm not coming out this time. I'm not coming out of this, Lord. I'm not coming out of this, God. I can't come out of this. Amen. Have you ever been in a place where you started crying, God, I can't take anymore. God, I can't handle anymore. I don't know what to do with this, but God, I can't take anymore. And you start saying, is it even worth it? Is it even worth it going on with God? Is it even worth serving God? I can't keep going like this. God, how long? And then the devil comes along and goes, where's your God now? Where's your God now? If it's Christian thing, if you was really real, and if it's really real, how come you're going through stuff and other people ain't going through stuff? How come your world's turned upside down and nobody else's is? How come you can't pay your bills? How come God's good to them and ain't good to you? How come their kids love God and yours don't even go to church? He's after us. And he comes trying to kick us when we're down in the valley. I'm almost done, so just hang on. He comes and he tries to kick us when we're down in that valley. And he's doing everything that he can do to get us out of the will of God. And you know why he does that? Because he knows that if he can't get us out when we're in the valley and in the midst of all of our suffering, and we come through this thing on the other side and we come walking out of that valley, that we're going to come walking out of that valley with a victory and with a fruit that the devil can't handle. And God's going to put something on you in that valley that when you come out of that valley, you'll have something that the devil can't handle and can't get rid of. Come on, give God some praise. If you're walking in that valley today, just keep walking in that valley, because God's going to do something in your life. He's going to do something. And that's why the devil's stomping on you. That's why the devil's hitting you as hard as he hits you when you're in that valley. God will let things happen in your life. God will let things happen to us. When we walked off in disobedience and try to do things on our own, God will let things happen to us. He'll let us cry till we can't cry no more. And we'll think it's all over with. And then all of a sudden the good shepherd shows up. Come on. And then all of a sudden the good shepherd shows up. I'm telling you, the devil will be in everybody's ear whispering, God healed them, how come he ain't healed you? Is it really real? God delivered them, how come he ain't delivered you? You know what testimonies ought to be? It ought to be to get the devil out of our ear, not put the devil in our ear. Amen. Come on, it ought to be, well, if God touched them, God's touched me, because I read somewhere that he ain't no respecter of persons. Amen. If God delivered them, God delivered me, because I read somewhere that God loves me too. Amen. That the Bible said that God didn't just love the Baptists, amen, or just love the Methodists, that God loved the world. Amen. He loved those that ain't even right. You know what? God loved Isaiah when he had unclean lips. Come on, somebody. God loved the people around him that was undone. They ain't none of us right with God. We all have failed short and come short of the glory of God. Ain't none of us walking on water in here. We're all messed up people saved by grace through faith. Come on, somebody. We're all messed up, amen. That if it wouldn't for the grace of God, there ain't nobody be here. God delivered us. Some of you have gone through things that you never dreamed in your life that you'd ever go through. And people telling you that you get saved and everything's going to level out. I'm telling you what happens when you get saved. Devil takes you down to the Target store and puts one on your back. But God gives you a shield and an armor to stand against him.
That's right. Amen.
I'm telling you something today. As long as we stay in the presence of God or get in the presence of God, God will continue to put stuff on us that the devil can't handle. I know what it's like, Robert, to wake up in the middle of the night and crying, God, help me. I know what it's like to wake up in the middle of the night and have the devil telling me, you're a fool. You're wasting your time. I know what it's like to have the devil telling me, I'm going to get your kids and I'm going to get your grandkids too. I'm going to tear your church all to pieces. I'm going to tear your marriage all to pieces. I'm going to ruin everything around you. I know what it's like. And I've been at that place where I've cried, God, do you even know where I am? I know what that's like, but I also know what it's like to come out of that valley with something I didn't have when I went in. I know what it's like to come out with a greater anointing. I know what it's like to come out with a greater joy. I know what it's like to come out with a greater peace. I know what it's like to come out with a greater victory when I come out on the other side. It ain't always about being defeated and going through stuff. And we realize that when we're going through the suffering, amen, that God is there. Amen. I know what it's like to come out with a greater anointing. And when we're on the outside of the Lord, we'll say things like, Lord, get me out of here. Lord, deliver me. Lord, help me. Don't let me go through this, Lord. I can't do it, God. Get me out of this storm. Does that sound like anybody's prayers? But if you'll get in the presence of God, your prayers will shift. And you'll start saying stuff like, God, I thank you for the grace to get through it. I thank you, Lord, because your word says that as my days, so shall thy strength be. I thank you, Lord, that you said you'd go with me, that you'd never leave me nor forsake me. I thank you, Lord, that though I'm walking through a valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because I know who I got. Amen. It don't matter what the devil roars, and it don't matter what the devil says, and it don't matter how loud he screams. Amen. I know who I got with me, and I know that I'm coming through on the other side because I know that I have a promise from God that he ain't never going to leave me. He ain't never going to forsake me. I know that I can get through this thing that I'm going through because I ain't going through it by myself. He'll get in the fire with me. He'll walk through the waters with me. He'll part the ways for me so I can find a way out of this thing. He ain't never going to give up on me. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Come on, I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
Look at your neighbor and tell him I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it, not because I'm good, because God's good. Come to church sometimes when you don't feel like it. Come to church when you got doubts. Come to church when you got fear. Come to church when you don't know what to do. And let us have a time to worship and let God's presence fill this place. Because I promise you that if God's presence fills this place and his train fills the temple and all of a sudden angels start shouting, holy, 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 and the doorposts of this house start moving around, things will shift. Things will shift in our lives. In God's presence, we begin to see things differently than we did before. We don't understand why we went through what we went through, but there's some of you that are in this room that have a better understanding now since you've been in the presence of God of why it happened the way that it happened. Joseph said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Joseph said, if I hadn't gone through what I went through, I'd have never found myself way to this throne and to this palace because all that I went through was the pathway to this palace. Everything. He couldn't even be mad at his brothers because he understood why he was where he was. And what you say about your suffering will determine how soon you come out of it.
Wow.
Because if we just keep blaming stuff And we don't let God purge us and fix our attitude sometimes. Some folks go through stuff and they just keep going through stuff and going through stuff because they're not saying the right thing about their suffering. But it was in God's presence that we begin to say the right things about our suffering. We begin to say, we deal with people all the time, man, that's got a horrible attitude. They're bitter. They're mad at people. They're mad at God. They're mad at their family. And you just keep going around that mountain until you say the right thing about your suffering. Because God's after something. God's after something in us. God's after something. He won't deliver us sometimes from things. Sometimes you've got to go through what you're going through. Sometimes you just got to go through what you're going through. He looked at Peter and he said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you." He's desired to have you. He ain't got him yet. He's desired to have you. And here's why he wants you. Because he wants to sift you as wheat. And the Lord didn't say, "But I prayed a hedge around you, boy. Don't you worry about it. I mean, if you come on over here to our church, you won't get touched." I heard a guy say the other day, "There's a place you can go that the devil can't even get to you." And I'm like, "That's a lie. Got to Jesus. If he can get to him, he can get to me." But I'm telling you right now, he didn't say, "I prayed for you that the devil won't touch you. I rebuked him off of you." And we've done that to each other. We've come up here and we've cried and we've said this. We've said, "I'm going through some stuff." And we've got the oil out and greased you up like a pig at the fair. Start praying devils off of you. And God's going, "What they doing?" And nothing changed. And the reason it didn't change was because it's something you had to go through. Here's what Jesus said to Peter. "I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, when I get done changing you, Peter, strengthen your brothers." Sometimes we got to go through stuff because I need to be changed. And when I get changed, I can stand up in a chair and testify about the goodness of God and strengthen my brother. Somebody in here needs to know that God has got a plan for you. Amen. You watch me go through it, and I'm telling you, God will bring you through it too. Oh, God has a plan for everybody in His house. And it ain't to destroy you, but to develop you and make you like Jesus. You had to go through it, Peter. You had to go through it, Lord. You had to get through it. There wasn't any other way around it. If Joseph, who had a dream, hadn't gone through all that he went through, he wouldn't have been prepared for it. But it was in all that happened to him. All things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to His purpose. Even that thing you're going through or have gone through. I'm done. God's presence changes everything. I don't know what sin you might be wrestling with, and you might have something in your life that you don't even know you have in your life. But in God's presence, you'll get honest about it. In God's presence, you'll get honest about it. And stop making excuses for it. And God, when you do that, will purge it. When Isaiah said, "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, I'm undone." The Bible said that the angel of the Lord took the tongs and took coals of fire off of the altar and touched his lips with it. When the Holy Ghost pinpoints what that thing is in our lives, if we'll be honest about it, He'll take care of it. And it'll get purged out of your life. I don't know where you are and how much access you're giving to God today. I don't know if God just has weekend visitations with you, and maybe not every weekend, maybe every other weekend. God has visitation with you. But He paid for full access. He paid for custody. He's my Father. He wants custody. He wants full access. If you were going to a concert somewhere and they were going to give you full access. I mean, you could go behind the stage and you could meet the stars and do all that stuff. And then you find out that when you get there, amen, even though you paid for full access, they're going to put you up in limited access up in the nosebleed section. There wouldn't be anybody happy about that. He's paid too much for us, guys. He's paid too much for us to just give him limited access and weekend visitations. He wants me on Monday too. Come on, he wants me on Monday too. He wants me on Tuesday. He wants me on Wednesday. He wants me on Thursday. He wants me on Friday. But in the presence of God, God will take your level of surrender to another level. Where you'll cry out, God, here I am. Here I am. Send me. When we get in the presence of God, we're crying out, Lord, how long? God will help us understand, had it not been for that thing you went through, you wouldn't be where you are today, and you wouldn't be who you are today. Had it not been for that thing you went through, you wouldn't know him like you know him today. Paul said this, I just want to know him. And the fellowship of his suffering and the power of his resurrection. Notice the order. To know him, plunged into suffering, to experiencing the power of the resurrection. I don't know about you. You want to come to church like a dead man bound up or walk in resurrection? Whew. Come on, stand to your feet.